We're joined now by Sydney Wildlife volunteer Lindley Gregg to get the best tips for caring for our wildlife this spring. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene. Good morning, listeners. Hope you're all enjoying this beautiful day.
Oh, it is so wonderful. Nice and warm one today.
Monday was a warm one, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as the weather gets nice and warm, that's when now our volunteers in the office get a million calls, as you can imagine.
Always busy. So what are Sydney Wildlife's most common calls during spring? Is spring a busy time for you?
Oh, my goodness. Spring is when all the exciting things start happening for wildlife, as I'm sure you can imagine. So you'll find that all the little joeys, which are could be baby possums, could be baby bandicoots, can be baby wombats, any kind of baby marsupial is called a joey. They're starting to get a little bit more independent, so they're getting into trouble when they venture out of the pouch.
mischief.
Chicks of all bird species are what we like to call getting their L plates. So they're starting to learn to fledge. And, of course, part of learning to fly is falling. So a lot of members of the public are finding little birds on the ground that they assume to have fallen from the nest. But, in fact, a lot of the time they're just learning how to fly. And we have all our beautiful reptiles that are starting to emerge from winter brumation. And brumation is like a little... It's basically like dormancy. So we've got snakes and turtles and water dragons and blue tongue lizards, and they're kind of all dusting themselves off and shedding their skin to look good. I always reckon they're a little bit like kind of like us emerging from COVID lockdown. So they're a little bit excited to be getting out again. They're traveling. They're going on dates again. Going out for dinner. So they're kind of out there looking for a partner to, you know, get busy. And then we've got pup season for bats coming up soon. So our rescuers are going to be very busy with little bat pups very soon. We also get the migratory birds that start arriving sort of late spring, early summer. So it's a very, very exciting time.
It's definitely a busy time. Everyone's out and about.
Yeah. Everyone's moving around, including the humans.
Yes.
So we're moving around a lot more because the humans are moving around a lot more. They're seeing a lot more animals. Also, all the beautiful fruits and flowers are blossoming. So that brings all the little critters into the gardens. And, so they do get themselves into trouble. A lot of it is our fault, but, you know, we leave obstacles around for them or food out and, you know, there's beautiful little things like gliders. Do you know much about gliders?
Oh, like the sugar gliders?
Yeah, like sugar gliders and feathertail gliders. We find that they have their little flight patterns and they kind of start zooming around as well, and they glide from tree to tree, and sometimes they discover that, you know, one of us has removed a tree and then their flight pattern gets all mixed up and then they end up in people's houses or back trees. Or so, pretty much everything we do, there's a knock-on effect. And so we end up with gliders all over the house for us and snakes in care and turtles that have been trying to cross the road to find a little, you know, partner for for spring, and they get squished. So, it's all happening in spring, but we love it.
So let's chat about our slithery friends.
My favourite.
So, and you did send me a picture of you patting a snake, so I can definitely confirm that. So snakes are really common during this time of year. If one of our listeners happens to be visited by one of these friends in their home or in their garden, what's the best advice for what they should do?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to just say that they're not the hideous monsters that people make them out to be. Most of the time they're kind of just minding their own business. And in terms of wildlife, they're actually brilliant because they're very quiet. They don't dig up your garden or make a big noise or, you know, leave a mess everywhere. They're kind of just minding their own business and moving through the property. And they're performing free pests extermination too, which is a bit of a plus. But so if you do happen to see a snake in your yard, well, generally depends, guess it depends on what type of snake it is and yeah, where it's situated. So pythons, for example, are pretty harmless, and they tend to lounge around in your trees or drape themselves along fences or, you know, curl up in little flower beds and that kind of thing. So generally, they're not causing any trouble. And so we would generally recommend that you kind of leave them there and don't interfere with them as much as possible. I know it's not always possible. If you've got dogs or something like that that might interfere with the snake, then obviously we would ask you to ring us for advice. If it's something like a red-bellied black snake or a brown snake or a whip snake or something like that, generally they really just don't hang around. So our best advice is probably remove your pets and your kids and your screaming spouses and just give it time to navigate through your yard safely. And once it's gone, then obviously you can let the pets and the screaming spouses back out again.
Once they've recovered.
Yes. Yeah, they don't tend to hang around for long. The only reason they would hang around in your garden for any real reason would be if there was a very good food source or if there was really good habitat. So obviously keeping your lawns nice and, you know, short, not having too much building rubble or, you know, log piles and that kind of thing, because that's creating habitat for them. And you know, food source would be like rats and that kind of thing. So try and avoid having mess around the backyard as well to prevent the rats, because that is a food source for them. If the snake's indoors, a whole different ball game, obviously. We generally recommend, again, remove your pets, kids, and screaming spouses. And generally close the door to the room that you've seen the snake. But, I mean, we prefer it if people can keep an eye on the snake whilst waiting for, you know, obviously ring us for advice. But if you are waiting for someone to come to your house, then it's best to keep an eye on the snake, because it's much easier for the snake catcher to be able to catch it if you know exactly where it is. If you kind of close the door and wander off and, you know, go and have a cup of tea or something like that, when your snake catcher arrives, obviously, they go, I don't know where it is.
Really hard game of hide and seek.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, then we've got to, like, empty out all the cupboards and move the beds and furniture, and it's much easier if people keep an eye on it. Generally, as a rescue organisation, we pretty much only rescue injured snakes, or if there's, you know, basically if there's a danger to the snake or to, you know, the property owners, then we would come out. But generally, the professional snake catchers are best for just relocating an animal that's in a bad spot. But yeah, no, we're happy to provide advice at any stage. You're welcome to ring Sydney Wildlife. But yeah, they're not awful. They are doing some good out there. I don't know what it is about snakes. I just love them. I think they're absolutely the most perfect creature in the world. But, you know, not everyone agrees with me.
Now, unfortunately, so, we are almost out of time. But I just want to really quickly ask you about Sydney Wildlife Mobile Care Unit.
Yes. So that actually was deployed early in the year. We raised money for it and basically bought a beautiful big Jayco vehicle and converted it into a clinic. And then we took it out into the fire grounds, because we find that, you know, if you're searching and rescuing for animals that have been injured in the fires, you need somewhere to take them. It's a terrible thing to have to drive 3 hours with, you know, a car full of injured animals to get to the nearest vet. So our mobile care unit was very useful in the fire grounds. We were able to rescue animals that were fire affected and take them directly to our mobile care unit for triage and treatment. And yeah, and so it's being used every day as well, just for general clinic days, I suppose you could say. Just carers are bringing us their animals, and our volunteer vets are able to treat them sort of on the spot, kind of thing. So that's pretty useful.
Sounds like an amazing resource, Lily. Thank you so much for joining us. You've really made my day.
No worries. And if you see a slithery friend, think of me.
I definitely will.
And you can call us on, I'm sure you already have the number, 94134300, if you need any advice on wildlife.